In the beginning, it was not so as the day is now. In the beginning, God, in His omnibenevolence, His goodwill toward men, toward creation, created the earth. It says that in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He created the earth. He caused it to come forth. He set the boundary of the sea. He caused grass to come forth and seed to come forth, each plant after its kind. He caused the waters to be filled with living creatures. He looked upon it all and He said it was good. He made man. He formed them from the dust of the earth. He breathed life into them. He became a living soul. He caused woman to be formed from man because it wasn't good for man to be alone, God said. In the tree, there was a tree of life where they could live on eternal life there on earth. From flesh and blood, they could partake of this tree and live on with God. It was a time where the voice of the Lord, or the sound of the Lord, could be heard in the midst of the garden as He walked in the cool of the day. It was a time that we would wonder at, that God dwelt among men, that He walked freely among them, that He made a paradise, not because man deserved it, nor did anything that was good, but simply because God was good. He made a paradise for men. He dwelt in friendship and glory and grace. Then man fell from God. And the goodness of God could not overlook that sin. He said that if you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you will surely die. So death passed upon all men. Death reigned even from Adam to Moses, even in those who did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Death reigned through all men. The entire race can be summed up in a fallen people. David cried in Psalm 51 that he was shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. That even from his mother's womb, sin was in his body. Wherein if God gave him grace to see his state before God, that he would cry, "Wretched, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" If God were to unveil the truth of His righteousness, the holiness of His goodness and justice, the fact that He hates sin, He hates that it ever has existed, that His eyes are too holy to look upon it, that man, that He desired goodness and paradise for man, but our iniquities have held back these things from us. And so the justice and goodness of God, as it was in creating a paradise, so it was in the days of Noah. When God looked upon the earth and He beheld all mankind. For it says that the nations are like a drop in the bucket before Him. That His eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth. Whither can I go from thy presence, the psalmist said. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him for whom we have to do. And when he looked upon the earth and he beheld the hearts of men, he said that all that he could see was that the thoughts and the intentions of man's heart is only evil continually. And it says there in the days of Noah that God repented that he had made man upon the earth. And he brought forth a flood of water to cause all men to cease to exist except for one man found favor in his eyes. His name was Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness in a world given over to sin. This man found grace in his sight, and he and his household was saved. Hebrews 11 said that Noah, being warned of the flood, being warned of the danger of the wrath of God coming upon sinful men, that a good and holy God must cause all of this sin to cease to exist. Justice must have its stand. And Noah, being warned of this, it says he was moved with fear, and he built an ark to the saving of his household. God in His mercy said that He would never flood the earth like that again. He put a rainbow in the sky there that all men might see the testimony before Him and before them that He wouldn't do it again. Time went on and the Mosaic covenant was made before the people called Israelites, children of Israel. Moses was raised up. A covenant was made at Sinai. He let the world know His law and His justice and His righteousness through this covenant. Paul said that he had not known sin but by the law. That the law is like a mirror, a holy mirror, where if you were to look into it, it would show you who you really are and what your sin is before God. For you see that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And all men are inclined to trust in their own hearts, to declare themselves good while yet they are still evil, to say they have need of nothing while they have need of everything, to trust in their own life when God says that they're dead in transgression and sins. When God looks upon the earth still today and His eyes behold all men, He says still today that they are dead in transgressions and sins. Jesus Christ warned that the end of time will be like the days of Noah. That it will be like the days of Noah, where all men are being married and given in marriage, where life is going on, and the perception of paradise will be the love of all men seeking peace. But God says that such days will come upon this earth that have never been repeated, never happened before, and they'll never be repeated. Such days where God strives with the whole earth to cause them to turn from their sins. But before this day comes, and before it ever was announced, God had it in His heart to provide a way of escape. He had it in His heart to give all men a refuge of escape from Himself. Because justice began with God. and He beholds men, and they are no more lovely to Him in the light of righteousness and justice than a dead body's fumes flowing up into heaven into His nostrils. He loves us in spite of what we are. And when we deserved destruction, it was at this time that God sent His only begotten Son. When heaven itself would have resounded in ecstasy if God took forth His rod of iron and declared the end of all the earth and all sinners, at this time God sent forth His only begotten Son. Not as a king to bring wrath, but as a suffering servant, as a lamb that is to be slain. They called Him in Isaiah 53 a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that men hid their faces from Him, that He had no beauty nor comeliness that man should desire Him, that He was not esteemed, but He was rejected, a man of sorrow and of grief. For all we like sheep have gone astray, and every man has sought his own way. Jesus Christ came declaring abundant life, but by a cross. He came declaring eternal life, but by a cross. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that He made Him who knew no sin become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That if any man would but believe on Christ, they could be saved. God incarnate became sin on a cross so that men who are dead might become the righteousness of Jesus Christ before Him. Sin of man was put upon Christ. And I want to say to you today that there is such a thing as the long suffering of God, wherein from all the days from Adam to Jesus Christ, God long suffered the existence of man. That He suffered to have them exist because of their sin. But He kept them alive because of His love. And when Jesus Christ was there dying on the cross, and when His Word says that it is finished, I want to tell you today that that was the wrath of Almighty God coming upon His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ never committed a crime. He never sinned once. But He became the sin of man before a holy God and let all the world evidently see what God thought of sin. And this perfect man who was God died a bloody, gruesome, horrifying death where the world He came to save forsook Him because they hated Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. For this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. For this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So the world that was in darkness snuffed out the brilliant light of God incarnate because they couldn't stand to have their sins exposed. That a holy man in an unholy world was killed because of his holiness. But I tell you today that born from Emmanuel's veins, such a cleansing flood was shed forth abroad that scores and scores of dead men were resurrected with Him. That He conquered death, that He rose from the grave, that He seated on the right hand of God to this end, till all of His enemies are placed underneath His feet. The book of 1 Corinthians declares death itself to be the last enemy that Christ will defeat. And then after death is defeated, Christ will then give the kingdom back to the Father, that the Father might take supremacy and God might be all in all. But those days have not happened yet. When Jesus came to the earth, the book of Isaiah says that God sought a man to stand in the gap. He sought a man to bring salvation, but there was no man to do it. So He took His own holy arm and He made it bare before the nations, and He wrought for Himself salvation. And that bearing His holy arm, this is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? And it was Jesus Christ. So born from this earth, when it was dead in sin, when it was abominable. For behold, He putteth no trust in His saints. Yea, the heavens itself are not clean in His sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water, God says in Job 15:15-16. That from the abomination of the earth, He brought forth sons. And these children of God have become the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. And in the Word of God, He says that the beauty of the bride is the righteous acts of the saints. The beauty of the bride is the righteous works of the saints. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, let the world evidently see, behold, all things are become new. That's Christianity. That we were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. That He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. That we were sometimes darkness, and the devil blinded our eyes that we could not believe. But then God commanded light to be shown forth in the darkness of our own hearts, in the light of the knowledge of the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus Christ did shine unto us, and we were saved. For God said in Genesis, let there be light, and there was light. And God has separated a bride from the earth that is like the distinction of light and darkness, and she does groan for the return of the bridegroom and for the consummation of the gospel and the liberty of the children of God to transform the earth. For you see, in the days of Genesis, when man fell, it was not just man that was corrupted or suffered, but the earth itself became cursed on account of man, that men had to work from the sweat of their brow, that death itself began to happen, and men died. And I tell you today that the fear of the heathen is death. It is the emotion of the cinema. It is the sorrow of existence. The day when they must die. But for the bride of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that they do earnestly say in their heart, come, Lord Jesus, come. That there will be a day when they will take off this earthly tabernacle and be translated into a glorious body after the similitude of Jesus Christ. That He was a forerunner, and He passed into the heavens, and He stands in the presence of God. And we will follow Him there. He says, in My house are many mansions, and He has prepared them for His bride. Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God, the rule and authority of God. As He walked the streets of Jerusalem, men who were blind did see. Men who could not speak were able to speak. The lepers were cleansed. The dead were raised. And the kingdom of God was at hand. Because by these works, Jesus demonstrated that He was King. Because all through the prophets and through the ages, God spoke of a day when the earth itself and the curse that had ridden it and stricken it, so much so that Romans 8 says that the earth, the creature, is subject to corruption, and that it groaneth and travaileth for one thing, for one moment of time, until the manifestation of the sons of God, wherein they are translated, wherein the world is recreated. But Jesus Christ came proclaiming His kingdom as a foreshadow of the recreation of all the earth. He proclaimed His kingdom as a recreation of mankind after the image of His Son. That Christ must rule in your heart. That means to be identified with Christ and His death, it means that you must die with Him. It means that Christianity is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Henceforth, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. If anyone claims to be in Christ, let him show his Christianity, his salvation, by being the very image and works and deeds and thoughts of Christ in the earth. That if you claim to be under the rule of Jesus Christ, then I tell you today that grace reigns and sin does not. And that grace is such a grace that causes you to have righteousness unto holiness, bearing fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For without holiness, no man shall see God. To be a partaker of the blessed eternal life and bliss, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, to escape the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever, you must be made a new creature in Christ now, before you die. That God is demonstrating to the whole earth the first fruits of His final victory in the earth, and He demonstrates it before all men, saying, behold, this man is a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Death hath no more dominion over him. And all things have become new. And I tell you today that the last chapter of time will be when the Christians on earth are finally liberated from the terrible, incessant presence of sin and the consequences thereof, and they will be in the fullness of reconciliation and paradise will be accomplished. And the conclusion and that final chapter is like a shadow, is like a type of what we're about to see between Jake and Hannah. That even as this congregation looks upon this marriage, that it is a picture of what God will do with Christians. And the conclusion of this chapter is best quoted in Revelation, beginning in verse 11, ending in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And it says this, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And I heard a voice from heaven say, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And He will dwell with them." The tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And He shall wipe away every tear from your eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." I make all things new. And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." But the fearful and the unbelieving, but the fearful and the unbelieving is not so, my friends. Jesus says in the next verse, before He gives the condemnation, He says that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I say to you today, 1 John 5:4, he that is born of God overcometh the world. And to be a friend of the world is to be at enmity with this holy God. To be popular in a world of darkness called the Satan's kingdom on the earth is wickedness. That Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when persecute you, when they cast your name out as evil, when they separate you from their company for the Son of Man's sake." He said, "Blessed are you that mourn, for you shall be comforted. Woe to you that are rich, that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." Paradise is not now. Now is a day of trouble. A day of trouble. Therefore, 2 Thessalonians 1 says, "Rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven, then rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire with holy angel dealing out vengeance upon those who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest then. But now, with much tribulation, the bride bears the sufferings of Jesus Christ to enter the kingdom of God. And then justice will have its full swing on the earth, and it ends in this manner. But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, people, would you look to Christ today? Would this be a scene of the end of time when God conquers the earth? All the bliss of this day, it is not sin to rejoice in this marriage, but let this be a great revelation to you to be a participant of the marriage at the end of time. Let this scene be a shadow of the very substance that you might have in Christ, and be ye reconciled to God in Jesus Christ's worthy name. Amen. Let me pray to close. Gracious Father in heaven, I pray that you bless each one in this room with a holy revelation of your blessed gospel and the blessed hope that there is in Jesus Christ, that not one soul would leave this place without knowing the good tidings and the everlasting bliss of the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherein men are privileged to be crucified, buried, and resurrected in your Son. And may even now, as in the days of come, we trust you might use Jake and Hannah as an exceeding message and exemplification of thy image to the earth. Oh, let all the saints glorify thy name, I pray. Amen.